I'm Bob Perot with LanarkLeadsToday.ca, and with me, the Executive Director of Lanark County Interval House, Aaron Lee. Hello, Aaron.
Good morning.
This is the first in a series of conversations that we are going to have, really with the goal of making sure that the issues of intimate partner violence and anything that really surrounds that remain front and center. And that conversation is an important one to have, but it's more important that we keep that conversation going.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that it's indicative of our community that, you know, MyFM already committed and was dedicated to offering us 86 weeks of airtime and keeping our community informed. And each week we talked about one of the recommendations from the CKW inquest. And I think that the movement and the momentum from the media's input and the media's perspective was, we don't just want to know that there are 86 recommendations. We want to know what they mean. And now, beyond knowing what they mean, we want to know how they're impacting and what are the issues that continue to go on in our community and beyond, and who's doing what, and how can the community be engaged in creating the opportunity for more change. And I think our county, especially in our region, has been really, really fortunate to have really great media leadership in saying these are important issues and we want to cover them from this perspective of what it's like for survivors, what it's like for agencies, what it's like for the system to be addressing these issues, as opposed to what is it like for, you know, the hockey players whose careers are at risk. We want to talk about the meat of what are the issues in our community. And there is no greater feeling for an anti-violence agency than to have a relationship with our local media that is so significant in terms of reaching our community.
And it's not just us. We're going to bring on other members of the media who are covering this as well and sharing the message too, because it does take a joint effort. There's no competition here whatsoever. And that's important too, because it really speaks to how, in order to keep this front and center and to ultimately beat IPV, that we work together.
100%. We all have to work together, and whether it's print media, whether it's TV, whether it's radio, it's really important that we're sharing stories and building a narrative in our community where it becomes more common for people to think about what's happening in intimate partner violence, what's going on with that particular family in our neighborhood that seems to have shut down, what's happening with those kids, you know, who are impacted by the violence that they witnessed. You know, and we've talked about having guests on this show that extend beyond media, but also include police services, whether it's Smiths Falls or the OPP, talking to other agencies, talking to the county, talking beyond every little piece of information, talking beyond that in our systems. And I think that I think it's going to be a really great show, and I'm hoping that people will tune in and certainly will ask questions and will continue the conversation beyond what they read, what they hear, and what they see.
I have a colleague who was looking at the news file here in Perth. Of course, we cover Lanark County, Smiths Falls as well, and commented that there seems to be a number of IPV cases that are making the news, that are being reported by the police. And it goes to this communication that we're talking about. But, you know, my feeling is that more people are comfortable in coming forward and making those police reports in the first place because of the fact that IPV is being discussed more in public, and they feel that they will be safe if they do report these incidents to the police. Is that your feeling as well?
Absolutely. I think that one of the scary pieces that happened not too long ago is that the OPP released their first quarter stats, and across the board, you saw a significant increase on IPV domestic calls. And I spoke with our own inspector for our local OPP about this, and I said, it's not necessarily a bad thing that we're seeing an increase in calls, because it could be, and in fact I think it is, people finding their courage more readily because of public education, because it's more readily spoken about, because we have such a high level of conversation that's happening publicly about intimate partner violence, that I think that it is empowering folks to say, yeah, it's everywhere. I recognize myself to be a victim. I'm going to make that call.
Yeah, and I think that really sums up the goal of these conversations that we're going to have, is to help people gain resources, not just through us, but of course we will point people in the right direction. You mentioned having conversations with the police, and really, as we look ahead to the weeks to come, there's so many other different organizations that we can bring into this conversation as well, some that some people may not have even thought of.
Yeah, I think it's important to talk to our agencies that are doing food sustainability issues, because those folks are often people who've been impacted by violence, and they might, find that their first intersection point is when they find themselves in need of food. And we know that the cost of living and the pressures on families are real. So I think we also have to think about how those our local agencies are impacted, whether it's Lanark County Mental Health, whether it's Lanark County Community Justice programs. I think we need to hear from voices, and I think that it would be really great to have conversations with the county about what does our community safety and well-being plan look like, because we have a recommendation that directly speaks to community safety and well-being plans. So what's happening at the county level and locally with our community safety and well-being plan? Let's talk to the coordinator of the plan. Let's talk to the county and find out what's going on. I think it's really important to think about what does restorative justice look like, and what does it look like in our community, and where are the inroads being made in terms of talking about IPV and restorative practice, and what does that look like? And I think that is another recommendation in the CKW inquest. And I know that we can have a guest who can speak specifically to what's happening in our local community. It is important, as you said once, we don't want to just hear about these recommendations. We want to know, are the recommendations being followed? Who's doing what, and what change is actually happening for victims and folks enduring in our community?
And you mentioned right off the top there, food insecurity. I think that's a big one, but it also speaks to the overall economic state and how that can affect things in relationships, in lives in general. And really, that's another path that I'm looking forward to us exploring.
For sure. I think we also have to explore the realities, and I know there's lots of conversations happening around the hockey trial and the outcomes. I know that that's been really, really heavy for people. And I know that the reality is that this is not going to encourage victims of sexual violence to come forward. So we need to have some conversations about that with our community and with our listeners to be able to say, okay, so what are the options? What are the viable options for somebody who's been a victim of sexual violence? And how do we reduce the barriers, and how do we explore what does healing really look like, and what does justice really look like for folks? So I think it's also paying attention to the big things that we know are heavy and are weighing on people's minds. And if you are a victim of sexual violence, I would encourage you to still call your local crisis line or victim services and have those conversations, because I know it's hard when you hear about the outcomes of a case like that. But we need to continue to move forward and have those honest conversations with folks about healing. We need to talk about the fact that our community is changing. We have more diverse members of our community, and violence impacts differently, based on culture and faith and religion. All of those things impact the way we respond to violence. So, with our community ever evolving, it's important to look at what are some of those nuances that maybe we don't think about, but that are happening for families in our community and in our region.
Absolutely. Well, the goal will be to get a new episode of this onto LanarkLeadsToday.ca every Friday morning. And of course, it'll be little snips will be in the news as well, based on whatever topic we're addressing that week. So I'm really looking forward to this. It's great to be back sharing a mic with you again, Aaron.
It's fantastic, and I want people to know that this initiative was not mine. I just think it's remarkable with all the change happening with my FM and Lake 88 and WOW and everything that, you know, you send me an email one day and say, don't think I forgot, I want to move this forward and let's get started. And I think that that's really amazing, and I know that we hope to have Tara Gessner with us today, but, you know, she's in court following another case related to intimate partner violence. So it's just remarkable that we're going to share the mic again and continue to move this dialogue and narrative forward. And I'm really, really grateful.
Well, we're looking forward to it. And Aaron, I guess we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
In the LanarkLeadsToday.ca newsroom, I'm Bob Perreault.